Okay, so Yudal, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu is named for the pasuk in Tureyam. We don't pasuk in Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu Yom Parashar. Parashar Yosem Al Yoshiyahu Ayom Vayitam Mukok Al Yisrael Binayim Binam Besuv Malakinos. So the pasuk refers to the death of Navi Yoshiyahu and the Kinar is was written much later by Halir, commemorating the eulogy that was delivered upon the death of Yoshiyahu by Yirmiyahu. And we're going to see that these two events, the death of Yoshiyahu and subsequent Korban 22 years later, were ritually connected at the Dekach, that the fourth Echa, which is about the structure of the Eisim Midrash, the fourth parak of Echa, according to Rashi, is specifically that exact eulogy of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Given the importance of the what it was, it was expanded into the Kisvei HaKodesh. That eulogy was expanded into Tanakh, and for reasons that we'll see. The style of the Kina is Aleph-Beis, and the first word of each the stanzas corresponds to that fourth parak in Echa, the word being exactly the same. So we have the fourth parak of Echa, which was written by Yirmiyahu, and then this Kina was written much later. Whether and then when Haleir lived, whether it was 1,000 years later or 1,500 years later, but it was a significant amount of time later, which greatly expands on the eulogy of Yoshiyahu of Yirmiyahu for Yoshiyahu, and if you learn the fourth parak of Echa, you don't even see the word Yoshiyahu mentioned at all. So we need that clear. We need the explanations mainly from our Salvechik, was clarified so much for us to understand what the Kina is about. Before we get to the actual Kina, there's a few ideas in general which make the Kina specifically, I'll say, important or unique. So, firstly, so it's said that this is the most authentic Kina. I've heard people say over the years that since it comes from Divrei Kabbalah, from the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, right? That this pasuk that I quoted before, by Kohen Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu. So, at the Chok Al Yom, this is the Chok Al Yisrael. So it was meant for us to be focusing on this, right, through all time, and So that's one idea that makes this Kina important and expands on the, as I said before, expands on the parak of Echa, okay, that was written by Yirmiyahu. The second idea is that this, I think, is the only Kina that fully references an event that took place before the actual Churban. Now we're going to have later Yom Achpi, which talks about the blood of Zechariah ben Yoyada, which was boiled for 2 or 3 years, but that's really not about so much about Zechariah, it's mostly about what happens afterwards when the Zerat comes and rampages to the Beis HaMikdash and eventually does Tshuva, but Rav again explains that the death of Yoshio was, even though it was before the Beis Hamikdash, it was before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, it was the equivalent. Like we know the idea from the Gemara that the death of Tzadik is equivalent to the Sreifas Beis Elokeinu. We have that from Gedalia, right? In the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that was one of the that's included with the Tanesim because it was equivalent of the destruction. You know, it was after the destruction. So the point being really is that it's not for the death of Yoshio. Theoretical to say that the Beis Hamikdash would never have been destroyed due to his incredible spiritual and kirov qualities, and he is an individual. He, as we'll see later, as we're going to go through some of the lines of the Kina, he was an original thinker. He, even though he came from a family of incredible Rishayim, he came to like Avraham Avinu, he came to the realization of Hashem on his own, at a young age. So basically, he was incredible gifts possibly could have extended the Malchus Beis David permanently. I mean, I've heard it said that he could have been Mashiach. Also, you know, Hizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. So I mean, so this idea that his kina is also unique, as I was before the actual destruction. And another major theme the Rebbe likes to talk about is that besides on Tisha B'Av that we mourn the national catastrophes, we also focus on the individuals. So not just a great person, a great king and also a great scholar like Yoshio, but even more similar people like we see in the Nesnavi, the kina that we read about, the son and daughter of Yishmael. The other kinas also talk about individual people, and they're also worthy of our attention in addition to the great national tragedies that took place. The idea is that each person has unlimited potential and to contribute his share to whatever plan, Hashem has for our role in the world, and so as I said before, this kid is moving away. I mean, Yudalef is the second one after Yud, which was in the previous kina. We talked about the Kohanim, the cities of the Kohanim. So we're moving away from the actual Beis Hamikdash, and now we're talking about the death of the tragic death of Yoshiyahu, and and goes into the whole story of Yoshiyahu, which is Gemara and Midrashim. There uses his majestic, poetic talents to weave an incredible kina together. And just before I start actually going through the kinas, I just have tremendous hakaras hatov to all the people, the students of Rav Soloveitchik, who worked very, very hard to put together several volumes and translated and transcribed and from the Piyutim. Because I was a kid, it was, I think the Rebbe was mentioning it before, it was like Chinese, it was a closed book. A lot of people say that they can't relate to Kinos because it's just too, they don't understand what they're saying, basically. The elucidation is incredibly important for us to understand the words. I think it's similar to Pesach. The mitzvah is to understand, to feel that we personally left Mitzrayim by talking about it. So these volumes allow us to certain sperm like this one here and other ones and which were called through a tremendous amount of work from cassette tapes that were recorded or I think mostly in the 1970s and some of the years they didn't have any cassette tapes or some of them they were partial and they were very hard to understand. You can imagine nowadays where everything is like recorded so clearly, digitally, and is a different world. And these are treasures, which are unbelievable treasures, which are infinitely better than what anyone can put on YouTube nowadays. And we're just getting like bits and pieces of it. And I was saying before that, and it's similar to at least for me. I'm sorry for going off on a tangent, but it allows us. When we talk about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it allows us to feel that we actually left Mitzrayim. So similarly, on Tisha B'Av, by understanding the whole all throughout the Korban and all the 2,000 years of Golus, we could feel that actually we are worthy of mourning it and subsequently being seeing the building. Of course, there's no accident that Tisha B'Av and Pesach fall out the same day of the week, every year. It's like a calendar. It's an accident. It's the same idea. It's the same. It's the same thing. And that's based on the pasuk that he says in Eicha Espiani Bamromim Hirvani Lana, which connect Pesach to Tisha B'Av. But anyway, getting to the kina itself. So it's out. As I said before, it's out days with the first word of every stanza being the same word as the first pasuk in the parak Tav Vayechi, which is referring, which this kina is a expansion of. So it's the actual kina itself. I'll just say a little bit on each one. In the Aleph stanza, so it talks about the Ela, the singers, male and female, eulogize the singers, and then it also talks about the fact that Yoshiyahu began to search for age 8. I mean, imagine an 8-year-old whose father and grandfather were biggest Rishon. Menashe is like prototypical Russia who brought the people to the lowest levels of serving by the Tsar, and you have his grandson. Who decides, right? That Shana Shana made from the Rosh may love. So he's trying to find the truth, like sort of Avraham Avinu. That's Aleph. Beis refers to Bnei Cham, which is the Mitzrim, which is the war, which eventually Yoshiyahu was killed in the war. Against the Mitzrim, and his merits, right? But the merits he had were not enough to overcome the sins. And that's Gimel refers to Kotom Kumok Nimos Avigdor. So he was, it says that Avigdor was Moshe Rabbeinu. So combination that he had, the unbelievable combination of being the Melech Yisrael and also a big Talmud Chacham. I guess you can call him like a Baal Tshuva leader, Rosh Yeshiva of the whole country of Baal Tshuvas. So he was on that level of, and there are many people in between, like people like Shmuel, Anavi, David Melech, Shlomo Melech, Yoel Melech. So all these people in between weren't on the level of Yoshiyahu. And the pasuk says in Lachem Beis, the fund of Melech Hashem Hashem Kavod Panashu Kavod called Koras Moshe. The Acharav Lo Kam Kamo. So that's the idea that he was on a very high level, both as a king and as a political leader. So then the next one. Dalet refers to the averos of the people, and that even though he wasn't really responsible, but as a leader, Davak Boy Avon made something as he was just by virtue, like you have in Vayikra, the leader is always responsible. Even if he's not the one who actually, even if they did it behind his back, as they did Achrei Adelus, but he ultimately had a bare responsibility. I guess the Kismah Tov, which is Kismah Tov, is related to Yoshiyahu from the character in Eicha. which is a backer show. So that's that. Vav. So thought by the Avon, there were a lot of sins, and Hashem couldn't shalach yadav lachar. It's like it's too much, basically. So the idea is that it was a combination of many, many years, 55 years of Menashe and 2 years of his father Amon, and 18 years before he actually. We'll see that Yoshio was 8 years old when he started, but it took him a long time until he was able to find the Sittara and start really leading. So that was 18 years. So 75 years were hard to overcome. Because of that, we had the pasuk again So even by Yoshiyahu, his legacy, his grandfather Menashe, is still into play, and it wasn't enough to overcome. Man, how great the person Yoshiyahu was! Sometimes the mitzvahs, the history is just too much to overcome. So then Zion. He starts talking about the famous story in Yoshiyahu about finding the Torah, and he ripped his clothing and opened up to the pasuk Arash Aliyah LaYakim as Tivrei and Torah Zosin. So he decided that it was going to be his. He's going to. The Malkum Shehanish, he's going to become the one who makes fun of himself, the Melech. You know, even though the many Melechim were certainly not high level, but he wants to be not only a Melech, he wants to be a he wants to get, like bring the people to Tshuva. So the next few sentences combined, Hes Salamim. But he talks about the mistake and the story when Israel, where the Melech Mitzrayim and Aharon HaKohen wants to use Eretz Yisrael for his war in the north. He wants to use Eretz Yisrael as a like the airspace, like the ground space he didn't know what to do, and discusses the story. It's a whole debate, and there's a critical error that he doesn't listen to us in that. Talks about Lamed. This is the Kier that he made. And now this is to Yirmiyahu, who was the Navi at the time. He used his own judgment. So, as big a person he made a mistake, and that led to his death on the battlefield. When he challenged the Mitzrayim instead of letting them pass through the land, he challenged them, and it was like an unnecessary war in which he eventually was killed. His body was pierced by 300 arrows, and he came like a seed. The idea was this, he became like a carbon, like a carbon ola. It's like the idea, other ideas, most of them are of course, but he's a carbon in the same sense that Misa Tzadikim is Mechaperet. You have that places in Chazal, comes from Miriam, and what Miriam does, and that's right from Paraduma. That's the connection, and also the Avodah Shem Kippurim. It's going to be about Kemosh, which talks about Bnei Aaron. So the idea that Mises, Mises Tzadik is kaparas. So his and the problem Ola is totally destroyed. His body is totally destroyed by the chitzim of the of the mitzvah. Okay, so then we get to Kuf, first to Kuf Reish, Tzadik LaHashem, that's Tzadik Kadin, we find that in Echa, it's a pasuk, right? Tzadik Karakal, interestingly, Tzadik Karakal, Tzadik LaHashem, Marisi, that he accepts his fate and because his last breath, he really didn't even have the ability to speak, but he sort of, the breath of his Ruach HaPeinu, the breath of his nostrils, he says that the Lord is righteous, his eyes are trustworthy. Even though he was a tremendous tzaddik, he says that it's really Marisi Pidu. I'm the one who made mistakes, but the mistake that he made, the political mistake, and even the religious mistake was, I guess, enough combined with all the background averos to seal his fate and he dies at age 39 on the battlefield of Megiddo. And then just the last stanza, it's a very important idea about confessing that it says that Tola Esru Ushtayim Meirosh Shoshet. Number 22 letters in the Aleph case corresponds to the number of years that were the basic midrash was postponed as Hashem gave like a stay of the Korban for 22 years because corresponding to 22 letters of the Aleph, which are the 22 letters of the eulogy of Yoshiyahu in Echa, which is a very fascinating idea that eulogy had the effect of sort of mitigating Hashem's anger and sort of reconciling the relationship. Which temporarily allowed the Beis HaMikdash to stay for 22 years. We see the word Echa, which is used to, which more in the Beis HaMikdash, is also used right in that parak to mourn the Yoshiyahu. So it's like that's the ultimate connection between Yoshiyahu and the Beis HaMikdash. They're sort of the same thing. By mourning Yoshiyahu, we also approve of the growing day of Samikash. And just as a side point, points out that it's contrary, the idea of eulogy, right, contrasts, right, with Yeshua. And say for Yeshua, we know that Yeshua wasn't eulogized properly, right? The people were too busy, and the result, so there was a hargash, it was the help and task for not eulogizing Yeshua. So maybe this is like a para for that, but the Dev Yeshiyahu and the eulogy of Yirmiyahu, the critical events which preceded the actual destruction, but were in a way a sort of korban, and that's why we have a special kina about this individual and the end, it's a rarity. The kina doesn't even end on a positive note of Nechama like most kinas do. There's different conjectures about why, but basically, I'll leave it at that. That the death of Yoshio was a tragic event, and the mourning of Yoshio teaches us a lot of lessons that we can learn, and that's why I think that's why considered something akina that every included this kina, certainly because it's mentioned in such an early source in the Tanakh.
Good. Okay.